We're going to hear the Bible now, and she's going to read to us.
Our Bible reading this morning is from Genesis chapter 32, continuing with the story of Jacob, and it's Jacob prepares to meet Esau, and we're reading verses 1 to 21. Jacob also went on his way, and the angels of God met him. When Jacob saw them, he said, "This is the camp of God." So he named that place Mahanaim. Jacob sent messengers ahead of him to his brother Esau in the land of Seir, the country of Edom. He instructed them, "This is what you are to say to my master Esau. Your servant Jacob says, 'I have been staying with Laban and have remained there until now. I have cattle and donkeys, sheep and goats, manservants and maidservants. Now I am sending you this message to you, my lord, that I may find favor in your eyes.' When the messengers returned to Jacob, they said, 'We went to your brother Esau, and now he is coming to meet you, and 400 men are with him.' In great fear and distress, Jacob divided the people who were with him into two groups, and the flocks and herds and camels as well. He thought, 'If Esau comes and attacks one group, the other group that is left may escape.' Then Jacob prayed, 'O God of my father Abraham, God of my father Isaac, O Lord, who said to me, "Go back to your country and your relatives, and I will make you prosper," I am unworthy of all the kindness and faithfulness that you have shown to your servant. I had only my staff when I crossed this Jordan, and now I have become two groups. Save me, I pray, from the hand of my brother Esau, for I am afraid he will come and attack me, and also the mothers with their children. But you have said, "I will surely make you prosper and will make your descendants like the sand of the sea, which cannot be counted." He spent the night there, and from what he had with him, he selected a gift for his brother Esau: 200 female goats and 20 male goats, 200 ewes and 20 rams, 30 female camels with their young, 40 cows and 10 bulls, and 20 female donkeys and 10 male donkeys. He put them in the care of his servants, each herd by itself, and said to his servants, "Go ahead of me and keep some space between the herds." He instructed the one in the lead, "When my brother Esau meets you and asks, 'To whom do you belong and where are you going and who owns all these animals in front of you?' then you are to say, 'They belong to your servant Jacob. They are a gift to my lord Esau, and he is coming behind us. He also instructed the second group, the third, and all the others who followed the herds, "You are to say the same thing to Esau when you meet him, and be sure to say, 'Your servant Jacob is coming behind us.' For he thought, 'I will pacify him with these gifts. I am sending on ahead. Later when I see him, perhaps he will receive me.' And so Jacob's gifts went on ahead of him, but he himself spent the night in the camp." Amen.
If you've got a Bible, you might want to open it at Genesis 32. So here's Jacob, our friend that we've been following for some time, and he's about to leave and go home. And the reason he's going home is because God has told him it's time to go. He's been with Uncle Laban for 20 years, long time. 6 years ago, he had planned to leave, but was persuaded to stay, and he was there another 6 years. And then during those years, you know, he gained more and more livestock. God blessed him, and he had an abundance. But now God says that it's time to leave. Now, I wonder if you remember the last words his mum, Rebecca, said to him, which would now be 20 years ago. You can read about that in chapter 27. But what she basically says is, once his anger against you has calmed down, I will send word and let you know it's safe to return home. Well, there's been no word from Mum Rebecca. There's been no word come to Jacob to say, well, everything's okay. everything's safe. You know, Esau's okay, he's not going to harm you, you can come home. There's been no word about that. And also, when God says to Jacob, I want you to return home, he doesn't say, oh, and by the way, I've dealt with Esau. You know, that you don't need to worry about him anymore. You see, when God calls us to do something, he often doesn't give us all the information we would like. He doesn't give us all the details. Very often, he holds back information. Because what he's doing, ultimately, is building faith into us. He wants us to grow in faith. And for Jacob, there will be challenges on his journey home that will test his faith. And maybe you know that experience only too well. You know, God wants you to do something, and it's not always plain sailing. So, what was Esau's last words, of course, when Jacob left, was, when our dad dies, Isaac, when he dies, I'm going to kill you. And those words must have been ringing in his ears for some 20 years. And yet God is saying, I want you to go home. So Esau has three plans. There is plan A, there is plan B, and of course, plan C. Plan A is that he would send servants ahead of him to go and meet Esau, and Esau would be told that Jacob's doing really well. He's got sheep and goats and camels and livestock, and you know, basically to kind of send a message that, you know, I'm coming home and I don't have any hidden agenda. You know, you don't have to fear me, although I'm terrified of you. And he wants favor. He just wants to arrive home and find favor. But the servants are told that Esau has got 400 men. That's quite a lot of men. And if you were to go back to, I think it's Genesis 14, how many men did Abraham have to defeat four kings and bring back his nephew Lot and all his family? We're told he had 318 men. He was able to defeat four kings and, you know, bring back Lot. Well, here are 400 men. That would have sent shivers down his spine. You know, this is not a welcoming party. At least I don't think it is anyway. So that was plan A. Not sure that would go too well. Plan B was that he would divide all his animals and all his family and relatives into two camps. Okay, two camps. So that when Esau comes and he attacks one camp, the other camp could escape. And I guess you're just hoping you're in the camp that isn't attacked by Esau. That was plan B. Plan C is that he would send servants down with a number of animals as a gift to Esau, to kind of placate him, to try to soften him, I suppose. And that would be in stages, so maybe every 5-10 miles, there'd be another group of animals with servants as a gift to Esau. You know, so he receives all these animals, wow! Generous Jacob, wow, maybe it's not as bad as I thought. Then there's another lot, and then there's another lot. So this is plan C. So that, but you know, by the time Esau gets to Jacob, you know, well, how can he possibly do him any harm after receiving all these gifts? As far as I know, none of those plans work. There's a very interesting detail we're giving right at the beginning of chapter 32. We're told that some angels of God come and meet Jacob. Interesting. He's on his way home, and as he sets out on this journey home, there's this camp of angels of God. What did Jacob first encounter, you remember, when he left home, when he was fleeing from Esau? He encountered angels. Remember, and he named that place Bethel, and he, you know, the angels going up and down the ladder. And Bible scholars refer to this as a biblical inclusio. I would just call it bookends, really. So at the start of his journey, he encounters angels. As he sets off on his journey home, he encounters angels. Now, I think we're told those details because they're significant. You see, whatever Jacob has in his camp is never going to be enough. No matter how many goats or sheep or camels or servants, whatever he has in his camp is not enough. And yet we have this camp of angels or angels of God. And Jacob never refers to them. It's like he never steps foot in this camp. It's like Jacob's going to go alone. Jacob will do it his way. I guess when we think of those angels, it's a bit like God's grace. You know, it's like God saying, I'm going to be with you at the beginning, and I'm going to be with you at the end. I'm going to be with you, and you're going out, and you're coming back. You know, I'm going to be with you the whole journey. And we too are going home, aren't we? Are we? This is not our home. If we've trusted in Jesus, then we're journeying home. And I guess the take-home message would be, we don't do it on our own. We don't do it on our own. We'll talk about it later. We don't do it on our own. We do it with God's grace, with God's help. And there's a lovely and quite a fascinating verse in Hebrews chapter 1. It's verse 14, where it says that God gives his angels or sends his angels. Perhaps I should read it and just make sure I get this right. Hebrews 1, verse 14. To serve those who will inherit salvation. The last verse of chapter 1. Are not all angels ministering spirits sent to serve those who will inherit salvation? Now, I'm not here to talk about angels because I don't know much about angels. But how interesting it is that on our journey home, God gives us angels to watch over us and to serve us in ways that we probably are not aware of. We don't travel alone, do we? God cares for us and supports us as we make our journey home. So I suppose the two simple messages, one is about faith. We trust God, we do what God says, but we are not given all the details. We're not told about the challenges and joys, of course, that may well lie ahead. Because Jacob certainly wasn't. He was told to get up, go home, And he's thinking Esau is going to kill him because he's not heard otherwise. But he went. But there's also this reassuring message as well. We don't travel alone as we journey home. God gives us his angels. He gives us his grace. He travels with us. So don't be like Jacob. Don't think, well, I've got it all. I've got all the resources I need. I'll manage myself. Our camp is always insufficient. So there we are. That's half an hour and 10 minutes. I don't do that very often. But we've heard a lot this morning, and I want us to pray. I want to pray for Jane and pray for Margaret and just pray for all that we've heard this morning, and then we'll conclude with our final song. Shall we pray together? Father, you call each and every one of us to live by faith, not blind faith, but faith in the Son of God who loved us and who gave himself for us. And Father, you've called us to different places of service. We thank you for Jane and all her work in Cameroon, for the team that she works with, for that happy, peaceful environment, for the expertise that is poured into giving the people there the scriptures in their own language. Father, we remember that lady who lost her husband, and pray for her and her family. And just pray for this ongoing work, Lord. May Jane and the whole team know your favor, know your blessing. And Father, thank you for Margaret in her service in Zambia, working in various hospitals throughout Africa, helping people, Lord, who have lost limbs, restoring life and opportunities for people. Lord, it's an amazing work. And Lord, we just thank you that we've been privileged to hear little snippets of what you're doing. And Lord, we thank you for it. We thank you that at the heart of what we've heard, Lord, is sharing Jesus with people, enabling people to encounter you for themselves. And so may their work prosper under your hand. And Lord, help us as well to grow in our faith, to trust you. Even though circumstances may be unknown or challenging, to trust that you are good, you are faithful, and that you will lead each and every one of us home. So hear our prayer, Lord, as we offer it to you in the name of Jesus. Amen.